I'm pleased to be able to talk about growth because I'm a gardener. It's pertinent when you think about it. You know, this week's talk, we're going to, my job is to introduce four basic means of growth and then to share practical ways to incorporate those means of growth into our lives. But before we go there, I just wanted to share two things. I was sitting in my prayer time pondering out the window today, and I'm just looking out at creation. And if you think of watching Nat Geo and Nova and all these, you know, nature things, and you look at God's creation, and you think of how intricate and complicated and vast and interdependent it is, and how many species there are of just insects, you know, the one we're waiting for, the locusts, you know, but how many thousands of species of birds and trees and grasses and shrubs, I mean, flowers. There's so many of everything. And, you know, you look at how one is dependent upon another, and if the bee doesn't pollinate that, then that doesn't happen, and then that one doesn't get to eat, and then that one dies. And God's creation, it's so unique. It's so varied. Why would we ever think, and you know, how he makes it grow, why would we ever think that there's only really one way for us to grow? For one way for us to bloom? For one way for us to be nurtured? I just want to leave you with that thought because we're individuals. As you know, we're going to give some parameters here of things to do tonight, but the point is the Holy Spirit calls each of us differently, works with each of us differently because we are different. I think of, you know, snowflakes. It's hard to think that when you're shoveling 3 feet of it out of your driveway, that every one of them is different. Only God could do that, right? The second thing I want to say before we start talking about our growth is that the measuring stick of our progress is not someone else. The measuring stick of our progress is how we respond to the Holy Spirit. You know, the guy that said it in there, being docile to the Holy Spirit. We would sell ourselves short if we stopped to think, well, I'm not where they are yet. Because it's important for us to be where the Lord wants us to be when where we are. You know, it's important for us to respond to him. So what I'd like us to do is to, as we consider these means of growth that I'm going to share about, to keep on our spiritual radar that docility of the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us as to how he wants us to grow and nurture these different areas of our life, because he's going to speak to all of us differently. And expect that and just go with it. Come, Holy Spirit, right? Okay, we have four basic means of growth. We have prayer, study, service, and community. So what I want you to imagine is a big wagon wheel, and the outer rim is our spiritual life. And then imagine the hub. The hub is Jesus Christ. And then imagine four spokes, each one of those representing one: prayer, study, service, and community. And out from that hub is, through those four means, prayer, study, service, and community, flows the Holy Spirit to touch our spiritual life. You know, to keep us supported so that we're able to really roll, to roll with it, right? That's how the Holy Spirit is transmitted to us and nurtures us in growth, all right? If any one of those spokes is broken, that transmission of the Spirit is hindered. We become dysfunctional, you know, and it creates an imbalance. We're almost rendered, you know, incompetent for use. We can be used, but not like a finely tuned auto, right? So we need to have a maintenance plan. One of the first things and the basic thing, you know, the foundation on that maintenance plan would be prayer. Prayer is our relationship, the communication in our relationship. I just did a Bible study and on discerning the voice of God with some young women, and one of the women said that she never realized how shallow her prayer life was. She would pray every day. Every day she would pray. And she would praise and thank God, tell him all her needs, be done, say amen, and off she would go. And that was the extent of her prayer life. Not to say that she wasn't praying. She was spending time. But she wasn't communing. She wasn't communicating. She wasn't listening. So it's important for us not only to pray, to share our needs, but to listen as well and expect him to speak to us. There was a kindergarten teacher of one of my children, and I loved how she talked about prayer. I remember to this day because it was so cool. She said, there's praise you prayers, help me prayers, I'm sorry prayers, and thank you prayers. I like to add surrender prayers too. You know, our prayer life should be full of all of those kind of prayers. You know, spontaneous prayer. We can, you know, spontaneous prayer, you hear a good worship song on K-Love, and you're just, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, just let it flow, you know, just as you're working through your day, to look up and see the sky and thank the Lord, you know. As someone comes to your mind, thank you, Jesus, for that person. Bless them right now. I don't know why they came to my mind. Spontaneous prayers. You know, a spontaneous prayer can be elicited from us, you know, if we're reading an article or just books, you know. Tongues, we were talking about tongues earlier. That's a spontaneous prayer. You know, the Jesus prayer. Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. Jesus. Come, Jesus, Jesus. You know, just, you know, through your day, just saying his name makes him present. You know, when we look at prayer, there's all the beautiful devotions that we as Catholics have. Beautiful devotions. The rosary, the divine mercy, the way of the cross. It's taking time, you know, to commune in that way. And I know Mary says, I love to pray the rosary in a group. It is true, I do too. We pray with a group of women, and it's just full. It's full. Matthew 18:19-20 says, whether two or three are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. Whatever you ask for, it shall be granted. The power of group prayer. You know, coming together with a common cause, with a common for the common need, right? There's also spiritual reading and worship music. It's beautiful to be able to just pop in a CD. There's so many beautiful worship CDs that can, you know, kind of prepare us to just get the world out of our head. You know, isn't it hard to sit down? You know, I'm an extrovert, and I had a terrible time praying. Praying. You know, you put me out in the garden. Oh, I could just praise the Lord and sing. I could get stuff from him. I'd be working 90 miles an hour. Oh, I'd see the Lord in this, and I'd see the Lord in that, and I'd be thanking the Lord for this. And then I'd go and sit down and try to pray. And I'd be looking at the clock, and, you know, I couldn't get, you know, I couldn't feel, because I was so extroverted. It had to be outside of me, and I never counted that as prayer unless I went to Mass. And the Mass, the sacraments. Mass is the perfect prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. And I could get a lot out of Mass, you know, because it's participatory. But, you know, to sit and be contemplative and quiet, oh, my Lord. He was very patient with me for years. Very patient with me for years. But, you know, as I grew older, you know, a little bit of that extrovertedness became introvertedness, and I was able to sit down and shut up and get stuff out of silent contemplative prayer. But it took a few decades. Whew, I'm glad I lived long enough for that. You know, when we look at the healing power of Eucharist and reconciliation and the sacraments. And I know John mentioned baptism. You know, our baptism is the foundation of all of our sacramental life. We become children of God. You know, He claims us for Christ. I love that. We claim you for Christ. It's like, you know, we belong. We belong to the Lord. And then we build from there. We've been growing since the day we were baptized. But it was like you said in that sailboat thing, you know, if we're not being moved forward, we're floating backwards. Tom mentioned it when he talked, you know, they're sitting back on your laurels. We go nowhere. It's not, you know, it's not a way to really thrive in the Spirit. Have you ever seen a plant that's just stuck out there? You plant, put it in the ground, you never water it, you never take care of it, you never prune it, nurture it. It'll just get baked by the sun and dry up, die. You know, we have to nurture ourselves, all right? I don't want to forget the official prayer of the church, the Liturgy of the Hours. A lot of people love to pray from the breviary, the divine office, you know. So there's a lot of different helps for us to be able to nurture a prayer life. What we have to do is just do it. Just start with 5 minutes. Just sit down, okay, Lord, I'm going to claim this 5 minutes of my day every day for you. And the next thing you know, you'll look up and you'll think, oh my, where did that 15 minutes go? And then you can stretch it to half an hour, whatever. But if you just claim 5 minutes out of your day, the Lord, He'll respect that. And He'll come to you in that. And He'll nurture you. That's one spoke. Spoke two, study. Sacred Scripture. Sacred Scripture. Some people get that gift. They get that thirst for the Scripture. I know the first time I asked the Lord, I was in, you know, I needed Him. I remember my mother was dying, and I asked Him, Lord, why do good people have to suffer like this? It was the first time I ever opened up the Word of God, and there was the answer. It was just right there in Romans 5. Rejoice in your sufferings. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. I was like, oh, I get it. Now, I would have never put those two together before without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit used that to touch my heart and speak to me. The Holy Spirit, sacred Scripture. Hebrews 4 says, the Word of God is living and effective. And it's not like reading a newspaper about what's happened, dead and gone. Yesterday's news. The Word of God is living. I can open it up today just like somebody could have opened it up 200 years ago, or somebody can open it up 300 years from now and it can be alive in their life and speak to them and be effective. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Able to divide bone and marrow. Now that's a scalpel. That's scalpel sharp. Okay? It judges the reflections and the thoughts of our heart. You know, if you need help with Scripture, look at what translation of the Bible you have and get a good concordance. They sell concordances for every Bible. And you can just pop that, you know, book open and read about whatever you want. I love the Psalms. There's a Psalm for everything. I don't care what you're going through. There's a Psalm for it. They're wonderful. They're wonderful. Okay, you can go online and get gospel and epistle commentaries. If you don't do the internet, talk to the director of religious education at your church or your pastor. You can get commentaries. You can sit there and start with the Book of Mark. You know, start with one of the epistles. And they'll read along and they'll give you explanations. It's wonderful. You can get a study Bible. Scott Hahn just has a new Testament out that just has tons of wonderful stuff in it. What's it? What is it? What's the Ignatius Bible? You can order that. So there's no reason for us not to read or understand the Bible nowadays. And, you know, one of the things that we need to do is say, before we open that book up, you know, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm here with you to hear what the Lord wants to speak to me today. Invite the Holy Spirit in. Before you even open and start to read, say a little prayer. Ask for understanding and wisdom and counsel. He'll give it to you. You know, as Catholics, we're so blessed with the teachings of our church, okay? We can study, you know, it's our responsibility, you know, to listen to the shepherds of our church. There's all these pastoral letters, there's encyclicals, and we've got, you know, diocesan newspapers and quotes from our popes. You know, we can go online now and get Twitters from popes. Now, who would have thought? But, you know, it's important for us to desire to know what our leaders, what our shepherds are trying to teach us. I know I just get little snippets here and there. This is an area that I'm weak, you know. And I keep thinking, yeah, I really want to do that. But I find myself, you know, just sticking with the Word and my daily readings and Mass. And, you know, I could really grow in this area. Because whenever I do sit down and start reading, it's like, wow. It's exciting. It's inspiring. It's fulfilling. It's nurturing. So, you know, let's go for that. I know St. John's, you've had people sit down and study different encyclicals, haven't you? And you have little groups that say, oh, we're going to look at this. That's wonderful. You'll sign up for one of those. You know, for us, we're blessed because, you know, in our magisterium, we have the sacred tradition and the sacred scriptures. You know, we take that oral history along with the written history and combine that all together, and it's so rich. We're so rich. We're very blessed in that regard. The doctors of the church, we can read them. St. Teresa, St. Augustine, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Lisieux. I mean, there's lots of good readings. Read the lives of the saints. How inspiring is that? You know, that's really wow. I mean, when we read about, you know, we think, oh, poor me, you know, what I've been through. And then, you know, you read what these people have been through. It's like, we've not been through anything. You know, what they go through. It's like, wow. No wonder they're a saint. You know, that's why we're reading about them. But it's inspiring. It's great. You know, to know that these are our brothers and sisters. These are part of our family. You know, really, we have the same spiritual DNA. So we can, you know, we can stand. Our Father Bandier always loves to say, we can stand on their shoulders. That's a good line, really. Stand on their shoulders, we do. The Vatican II documents, wow. Now, I've read some of those and gone through some of them in little different study groups, and I couldn't quote anything to you, but I know that somewhere in my spirit, they've had an impact. They've encouraged me to live out the call. My call as a lay person, you know, to try to live it out to the full and not to stand back and say, well, Father will take care of that, or Sister will take care of that, or, you know, the deacon will take care of that. You know, we have a call as lay people. You know, we're not let off the hook just because we're not ordained or, you know, in religious life. There's so, so many books and publications that we can nurture ourselves with, that we can study. But, you know, we really have to be docile. One of the things I have on this back table sitting behind Bob is a handout on the personal gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, these are the Isaiah 11 gifts of the Holy Spirit that you're taught about in confirmation. There's a little blurb on each one, kind of explaining it and what to look for to let you know whether or not this gift is a mature gift in you. And these gifts right here, these personal gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, right judgment, fortitude, piety, fear of the Lord, those are the ones that if you don't have these gifts, and these gifts are not mature in you, then you have a high likelihood of abusing the charismatic gifts. It's important to make sure that these personal gifts of the Holy Spirit are nurtured and fed. They need the miracle grow. They need miracle grow. So this is a little handout. It's on the sheet back there behind Bob. I think I have enough for everybody. My computer kind of was running out of ink. So it's important that, you know, we learn really what we believe as Catholics. You know, I'm talking about those encyclicals and Vatican II documents. Because how many of us really do know really what we believe as Catholics, and how many of us are able to explain it to other people? I would be stumped on a few things, I'll tell you. You know, but that takes us to the next. That takes us to the next thing, which is service. The next spoke, which is service. You know, one of the first things in service is to witness and evangelize. If we really don't know what we believe as Catholics and why we believe what we believe, how are we able to explain that to other people with respect and you know, gently and respectfully? So it's important for us to study our faith and what we profess. Because it's important for us to put our gifts, you know, if we're talking about service here, witness, and put our gifts at the service of our parish, at the service of our diocese, at the service of our community. You know, the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy. If you don't know those, you should look them up. We should all know those spiritual works and corporal works of mercy because we should be doing them. And, you know, it's important. We Google it. You know, we can Google anything nowadays. Google knows everything, I've come to find out. Pull out your old Baltimore Catechism if you have it. You know, or any good Catholic instructional book should have those corporal and spiritual works of mercy. You know, and then there's the whole service area of social justice. How can the Holy Spirit draw us into social justice issues? Well, voting. That's a hot topic right now, isn't it? You know, there's abortion issues, euthanasia, you know, all those right to life issues from one end to the other. Homelessness, pornography, immigration, foster parenting. There's so many things that we could do social justice-wise. Just pick one. Or, better yet, allow the Holy Spirit to call you into one and respond to that. But, you know, you'll be probably reading a paper one day or something, and something will tug at your heart. Maybe that's where the Holy Spirit is, how the Holy Spirit is calling. I know I used to do hospital ministry, but the Lord just kind of pulled me into prison ministry. And I really wasn't going to do that. I told the Lord I really just did not have time to get into another ministry. And here I am going up to that prison. But he pulls us in. And you know, what I'm saying I didn't have the time for, the Lord made the time for me. You know, he took care of things in my life so that, you know, I can get up there. Kathleen goes up there. And it's a beautiful ministry. There's what people, they really need to feel God's love. The last spoke is community. Not to say I'm a product of community, because I am not one of the most self-disciplined people in the world. I needed community to help me grow. I want to tell you this story, and I'm not going to tell you a lot about community because I think you have a sense of community, but I had this image. I was driving down the road, coming down from church one day, and it's just the phone poles just jumped out at me like I'd never seen a phone pole before. I'm sorry, wait, they're utility poles. My sister-in-law would correct me right now. She used to work for a utility company. The utility company puts them up and everyone else uses them, but they're utility poles. So there's the utility poles. And I had just heard, like 2 weeks before, that to get a utility pole, they have to plant the pine trees kind of close together. You know, maybe from here to that garbage can. They're all, you know, they're planted close. Probably closer than that, yeah. Maybe that chair. They're close. I mean, you can kind of walk through them. But they do that so that when the wind and the weather comes, they protect and support one another. Isn't that cool? So they'll grow straight and they'll grow tall. And then when the time comes, they chop them down. They strip off the limbs. They take off the bark, they let them dry out and cure, and then they treat them so that the pests won't get in. And then they put them up so that people can stay connected and communicate with one another. Isn't that cool? Now, all of that comes from community. And I thought, that's me. I was a utility pole right in the middle. I would have never grown straight and tall had it not been for my community. I can say that. The Lord has graced us with a lot of different means to grow in Him. Then there's also the story of the man who hadn't been going to church, so his pastor goes to see him. And he invites him in. It's a cold night. They've got a fire going in the fireplace. So they both sit down in front of that fire and talk. And by the time they're almost done, it's late in the night. And the coals, there's coals left in the fire, just embers. And the pastor leans over with the fire poker and takes one of the embers and pushes it off to the side. And within a very short amount of time, all the rest of the embers that are still banged together, glowing, that one goes out. And he looks over at his parishioner. And he says, I get it. You know, no man is an island. We can't stand alone. We can't, you know, as much as we think, oh, And how many people go to Mass and involve their communities, but they're really out there on the perimeter. They're out there alone because they don't engage. They don't involve themselves. And, you know, maybe spiritually we go out because we're really not staying banked up with the other coals. You know, the time for spoon feeding is over for us. You know, we have tasted. Last week we tasted and we had seen the goodness of the Lord, the fire of the Spirit in us. And He expects us to be ready for duty. And I think of Abraham. And I remember reading back in Genesis one time, and the Lord said, Abraham. And Abraham said, ready. I say, what do you want, Lord? Well, are you sure you want me to do that? Well, what about this? Or what about, you know? I have these, I'm like tippy-toeing into it. Abraham was ready. You know, that's kind of my goal. Let me get to the point where I could say, ready. You know, when I feel called to something. I'm a little closer to that, but I think I still have a long ways to go. So can we in our hearts, you know, as we look at these four folks, prayer, study, service, community. Can we just examine in our lives where we could grow? Ask the Holy Spirit to help us grow. And then be ready. Be ready for whatever He's calling us to do. Amen?